Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now in the studio is Faraz Fayed, who is an award-winning Syrian filmmaker, and he's directed and edited both documentary and fiction films. He has participated in international film festivals and received recognition for his work about contemporary Syrian issues and the political transformation in the Arab world. His latest film, The Last Men in Aleppo, won the World Cinema Grand Jury Prize for Documentary at the 2017 Sundance Film Festival. Welcome to Background Briefing, Faraz Fayed.
Thank you so much.
And it does feel like a terrible time in the world where the bad guys are winning. It feels like it here in the United States. We have a terrible president. Every day you read the newspaper and more terrible things are happening, much of which will have devastating effects for decades to come. But Syria is really, I think, the most glaring example of the really bad people winning. How does it feel to you as a Syrian at this moment?
Well, actually, this is one of the questions in how I can tell through this is film, this is a story, and this is a question, and following the through that. And it was like when you see, like when I was following the white helmets for them, they are the first responded on the heavy bomb from the Russians and the Syrian regime allies. It show you how much we have enough evidence for the crime that's happened there, and it show you like who's like behind this is the war crimes that accused in the death more than 100,000 people in Syria and accused in the big refugee crisis that was which is developed after the Russian start to bomb in Syria. Through that, my character, I show like how much this is people is in a position that they have more responsibility than they can handle it, and they are left alone. And they try like to promote in the media they are a hero and they can take care about their countries, which is like this is, it's not easy for the people. They don't have anything. They're just their hands and mock them like in a position fighting one of the powerless country like Russians that they use everything to destroy them. And then after that, this is people, they start to collect this is evidence of the, and the Russians that start like the Russians more like use all this is kind of propaganda against them. So the feeling it's now it's could like you feel like you left alone. You saw everything in front of you destroyed, and you have all this is should the support, and you should have all this is support because you doing this is people doing something for support the peace and staying in the country, not accusing in not leaving the country, and there was a hope for the people to stay, not accusing the people like to leave. And this is a kind of the feeling. It's very, very destructions for anyone who lives, who forced to leave Syria, which is this is the right things, or who's decide to stay and killed and on the hand the Russian and the wrong policy in Syria.
Right. Well, it does seem, though, from the very beginning of the Syrian revolution, which was spontaneous and it followed the fall of Gaddafi in Libya, and it was the time of the Arab Spring, that since the people rose up and then Assad was shooting them down in the streets, nobody really came to the defense of the Syrian people. And we're talking about 80% majority,
yes, you know,
of the country. And it's been the, what, 6-year tragedy since then. And it seems that at this point, what's going to happen to the 80%, the majority? A lot have gone to Europe, I understand. Millions are in camps. Do you, as a Syrian, are you accepting defeat, which is what it feels like?
Well, the people in Syria, they will, as they fight, and there was as believe that in the freedom of speech and freedom and democracy and that they start like to go to the street in the non-violence ways. Mm. They lived alone for almost 2 years, without any help before any before turning to be civil wars, because the using the Syrian regime's the force and the power against them and shot them in the street and by the planes. Normally, all this is people, how much they lose, how much they have feeling of they will not accept it. The Assad anymore, and because we speaking about destruction country divided, there is no hope for to be there is a Syria will be again, and Syria is a pieces between different hands, and a society completely lose all the kind of being together, and every family almost lose one or two member from that. And how all of these people, even who support Assad, they know he's responsible about that, because they start to feel that the Russian is in their street, the Iranian in their street. They control their street, and that's in front of the eyes all the international community, and there is no any react about that, and using chemical weapons once and the second, and falling of Aleppo, and then falling of Homs and falling of Aleppo, and then now siege of Al-Ghouta, and using the hunger against the civilians, where like they are 250,000 people sieged, and there is urgent situation like the cancers, and there is no medicine for them.
Right. That's well, in the film. Yeah. The father takes his daughter to the doctors, and
exactly
they explain that she's got malnutrition, and he feels wretched that he can't do anything.
Yes.
You know, that's got to be the hardest thing in the world to see your children starving. Yeah.
And that show you this is people who's in through last minute Aleppo. We try to show this is people what they looking for. They looking for the simple things, simple need. They didn't like look to this is like as I said our Russian promoting like they are working for the CIA or working for that like to make the society against them. This like these people was seeking for just like for medicine for their children and want to see even everything around them destroyed. But they didn't give up. Right. Even now, even if Aleppo fall down, if you go like to every Syrian, including me, including my family who is still in Syria, including me, what do you think about that? Are you accepting Assad again? I will say it now more stronger in the idea. I will not accept it, Assad, because he will absolutely, he's not the right person, because he will get the right. occupation, the Russian occupation for Syria, and there is no Assad. There is Putin, and there is Iranian policy in Syria.
Right. And again, Firaz Fayed is joining us in the studio. He's an award-winning Syrian filmmaker. He's directed and edited both documentary films and fiction films. He's participated in international film festivals and received recognition for his work about contemporary Syrian issues and the political transformation in the Arab world. And his latest film is The Last Men in Aleppo, which won the World Cinema Grand Jury Prize for Documentary at the 2017 Sundance Film Festival. And the film will be coming out when? When can our audience see your film?
Now the audience can see the films on Netflix.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
And right now?
Yes, right now.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, Aleppo, of course, the film, most of the city's been destroyed, and you watch the rest of it being destroyed by Russian bombers, and it's just a wasteland. Mm-hmm. But it was an extraordinary city. It had a World Heritage Site, was the souk, the extraordinary. And that was destroyed pretty early on, was it, in the Civil War?
Yeah. Yes. Well, Aleppo, as the heritage recording, the international heritage recording, that Aleppo, one of the oldest, 10 oldest cities in the world, as a city. We're speaking about the cities, like completely with all the elements of that you can call the city as a city. And you can see it when everyone who visit Aleppo, he can find his history there. Mm-hmm. And there's a different books that said like Aleppo and Damascus is not just two Syrian cities. It's like history for everyone on the earth.
Right. It's, well, so, it was the crossroads between the east and the west.
Yes. Completely. Damascus is oldest capital as a capitals, and Aleppo as a city. And with all this is kind of the heritage that you see it, I try like to transfer it in the films through like use the element of Aleppo as a story, but as an element in the films, as a theme in the story, the relation between the characters and their cities, and but also to use it like how is the enemy, it's like the Russians like try like to destroy this city with all this history, with all this is like the people who was decide to stay. And through many scenes, you can see like people going like to street to buy fish because they, and this is one of the scene that the main character go like when the city sieged and completely like will fall down, close to fall down and destroyed. And he decide go to buy fish. And then he find this fish sellers in the street. And then to build like a small aquarium in his space, that show you like this is people, they have a long plan to not leave their city, and when Aleppo fall down, it just like those is people forest with all kind of the power and without any help, without any support, and this is kind of the shame that all the humanity, it's like it's part from our shame in history, and all of this is people where they end when we asking about the refugee crisis, who accused in the refugee crisis, it's a Syrian that accused, this is people who was like forced to leave their country, accused in the refugee crisis. No, I mean there is a big powers behind pushing the people and for them, and don't care about the international laws, don't care about any kind of all the human rights.
And again, Firas Fayyadis joining us in the studio. He's an award-winning Syrian filmmaker. He's directed and edited both documentary films and fiction films. He's participated in international film festivals and received recognition for his work about contemporary Syrian issues and the political transformation in the Arab world. And his latest film is The Last Men in Aleppo, which won the World Cinema Grand Jury Prize for Documentary at the 2017 Sundance Film Festival. Well, you know, unfortunately, our president has changed American foreign policy. There was always, at least since Jimmy Carter's presidency, an emphasis on human rights and a moral dimension to U.S. foreign policy. And it's changed completely under Donald Trump. But, of course, the cynical part of the Russian situation is that the Russians are also have a seat on the Security Council of the United Nations and have always vetoed any efforts to address the humanitarian situation and also the human rights situation in Syria. It could actually, it's almost like we may be seeing a new war breaking out, as everybody seems to accept the idea that the Assad and the Russians and the Kurds and the Hezbollah and the Iranians have won. But now it seems as though something's going to happen either in Lebanon or with Hezbollah and the Israelis or even with Syria. It seems as though the Sunni Arab world is waking up to what the Jordanian king said some time back, warned about what he called the Shia Crescent, where there's going to be a land corridor from Tehran to Damascus and Tehran to Beirut. And I think the recognition that that's looking like a possibility has possibly reignited it. I mean, there's been a long proxy war, if you will, between the Saudis and the Iranians, and Syria, to some extent, is collateral damage. But do you foresee another round? It seems like something's going on with the Hariri going to Saudi Arabia, and a lot of rumors about a new war breaking out. And so just as this one ends, a new one begins. What's your opinion on that?
Well, of course, I mean, after falling of Aleppo, the thing's not going like to see, like, you will not see, like, there is, like, any solution that will coming over, like, because there is no winning in when Aleppo fall, because there is, like, a lot of money should be, like, put into rebuilding, like a city like Aleppo, or rebuilding right. city like Homs, or rebuilding city like Raqqa, and there is or and this is the Russian will not involve themselves like with that because they don't have the they don't have the abilities and to do these things alone. Then right. the Assad will find this other solution how he can involve the European and involve the American in rebuilding right. to re-supporting to get their support from them, but. Some European country like draw a line that will say it will not involve in these things,
right.
and that's bring other levels with the conflict in with the change the change in Saudi Arabia and the Iranian rules in Syria when they will start to move the, to Deir ez-Zor as a city to control the Deir ez-Zor as a city and then start something to be. Changed in Lebanon because they start to play a big role and use the Saad al-Hariri and his party, which is like for that's mean like it's control all the kind of the party because the one of this big party like against Hezbollah was like Saad al-Hariri in the last one of this is who is. Draw lines like next to the next to John Blatt. There was very clear about this is the policy of Hezbollah. And that's it's very clear and not and expected that will happen in Lebanon because the role of Hezbollah that played and the Iranian role in Lebanon, it's drove all of this is kind of it's will get more like problems and conflict to the to the city and then its influence from the role that played by Hezbollah and Iranian inside Syria.
Right. Well, but what's going to happen with, you mentioned reconstruction, and clearly the Russians don't have the money and they don't care, I don't think. They just want their bases and they want access to the Mediterranean for their navy. The Iranians don't have the money. Hezbollah is in trouble financially. The war has cost them a lot and they're not being able to fulfill their social services. So will it mean that the West has to reconstruct Syria?
Well, from different meeting through screening last in Aleppo and different parliament in Europe, there was very clear speaking about the future of Syria. The European, they blocked that. They said we're not involved in this. We'll not support that.
But can they make an insistence that in order to rebuild Syria, Assad has to go?
Yes, I think this is one of the conditions of they were rebuilding Syria, but this is will influence also about the role of Russia. Leaving Assad, if leave Syria, that's not the things now. But also, what's the question about the role of Iran in Syria and the role of Russia? This is the things there. Now, we have a two big problem that you find it in the biggest city, in Homs and Aleppo. This is forces of the Russians and in Hama and Latakia. This is like the base of the Russians theirs that they moved. They will not move it in easy way.
No.
Assad stay or leave, it's not now. It's just the problems. Now, what the Russian rules in this area and how they will use this money could like the European or they will use it like to rebuild Syria and this is the big deal and this is should be one of the thought in the policy of rebuilding Syria and reconstruct Syria otherwise then Assad goes and then other doll will coming and then will moved by Russians behind or the Iranian behind. And this is the conflict about who the next government. And that's make that the peace, like the negotiation of Geneva to be not easy. And then they move negotiation and they open other negotiation in Saudi Arabia and Egypt. So this is will not end in any ways because there's a ways that they want somebody like accepted Russians and Iranian to be in the government if they agree about removing Assad.
Well, just in the last couple of minutes, for our American audience, the film is very important in the sense that we have basically been silent and complicit in our silence as we've watched a country get destroyed by one family, a mafia family, that the people rose up spontaneously. They wanted freedom and they wanted democracy. And they were sick of this family dictatorship. and they were slaughtered, and it led to a civil war, and now the bad guys have won, and the country's been destroyed. And what are you hoping for the American people to learn from your film?
First of all, knowing that the problem in Syria is not just about the country behind the Mediterranean, and it's just about Syria. Mm-hmm. Syria, it's mean also in U.S. It's linked completely with the U.S. because this is the world. It's connected with each other because the play of Russians is big, and the role of Russian will be their peaks, and then it will influence in U.S. because this is in general about. We're talking about the global problem in general. We're not just talking about we're talking about the petrols, gas, waters, a very geographic place, like it's close from everywhere, and influence country and refugee crisis. We're talking about the global problems. This is what I want to the American audience know, that to care and understand Syria. It's not just because Syria about just a refugee crisis, and if we solve there, then the refugee crisis will end. It's about understand the role of the policy of the Russians and Iranian there, and what they want from Syria and how they will use it now or the future. It's the Mediterranean Sea. It's open in Europe, and Europe open in U.S. And that's easy, like, to all the time send to open. This is like how you control and how you can make build allies around you, the Turkish, right, with everyone's, and then how you can support your policy. They support, like, their how they can catch this country and use it in to attack the Americans. It will not end in this way. The policy of Russia is how they can more divide the American society. This is the thing. It's not just about the Syrian. It's not just about their country or their nations. Right. Of course, this is in the human side. Of course, this is important. But in the deep side, also about the power conflict and about the economic side and about the strategic place for the basic where the weapons and all of this is places. Yeah.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us. Yeah, I appreciate it. And I thank you for your very important film. And again, I've been speaking with Firas Fayyad, who's an award-winning Syrian filmmaker. He's directed and edited both documentary and feature films. He has participated in international film festivals and received recognition for his work about contemporary Syrian issues and the political transformation of the Arab world. And his latest film, The Last Men in Aleppo, won the World Cinema Grand Jury Prize for Documentary at the 2017 Sundance Film Festival, and it is available now at Netflix.
Thank you so much.
This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.